The following program is sponsored by What's Right, What's Left Ministries and is responsible for its content.
Portions of the following program may be pre-recorded.
I am Pastor Ernie Sanders, the voice of the Christian resistance. Stay tuned. My radio broadcast, What's Right, What's Left, is coming up right now.
From Independence, Ohio.
We changed our life for the better in many different ways.
Heard around the world every Monday through Friday.
Pastor Sanders is always years ahead of the rest of the media, telling you exactly what they're covering up.
This is What's Right, What's Left.
I tune in every chance I get to hear exactly what's going on with the voice of the Christian resistance.
Unabashedly cutting through the rhetoric by exposing the hard topics facing our society and world.
A lot of the other news media don't pick up the news items like he does.
And bring into light the enemies of freedom who are out to steal your rights, your children, and enslaving you.
You really get the truth out. I can tune into your show and hear the unvarnished truth. Thank you.
This is What's Right, What's Left with Pastor Ernie Sanders.
Good evening and welcome to another edition of What's Right, What's Left on this. Well, it's February 2nd, Groundhog's Day. Big deal. Big deal. The ground... Did you hear that cackle? The cackle?
Yeah, we do.
Yeah, that a familiar cackle, huh? There you go. Now, we have tonight, we have, as always, a lot to talk about. We're going to get to it. And so, our producer on the board with a smile, his name is Style. Say hello. Say it with Style.
Hello, with okay. Style.
There you go. That's his real name, Style, right? You know, that beats Ernie. About everything beats Ernie. Right? Okay. And then we have here, where I can keep an eye on them. They're kind of entrusted into my custody here. We have, starting with the left. No, we never start with left, because there is no left, right?
Right.
Just testing you guys.
Mm-hmm.
So from right to right... We have none other than Eric.
Good evening, brethren. I have here a prayer to the Holy Spirit for all the unsaved Christians in the world. Blessed Holy Spirit, please direct all the unsaved people to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, the Nazarene, so that they will repent, as that he may give them all salvation, and that they, in turn, will spread the Lord's truth and wisdom, as that when they leave this world, God Almighty, our Holy Father, will welcome them with open arms into his realm of everlasting life, peace, and love. Amen.
All right. Very good. Very good. Now,
amen.
To the right of Eric is none other than, she stutters and flutters, and it's the studio marm, Little Lisa.
Good evening, everyone.
All righty. And then next to her, we have Radical Randy.
Be blessed. No stress, everybody.
You have a prayer, too, tonight, don't you?
Yes, I do. I have a prayer request. I have a friend of mine, the sister of the mother of my God kids, is having surgery tomorrow because she has stage 1 cancer, and they're removing the spot. My prayers, if you would join me in that, is that, dear Heavenly Father, I pray for Bobby. I ask your Lord that you might guide, govern the hands of the people and of her, and that you might be there, that you might touch her body and heal it, and that may she be a witness and a testimony to you that you still part the sea, still heal the sick, and still raise the dead. And we ask these things, and it might be to your praise, your honor, and glory, and of course to our joy. In Jesus' name, amen.
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 And we had, guess what? Everybody is sick, and I know why. The author, Peter J. Glidden, was just here, but he dropped his, he's having bone trouble, so we expect him to be calling us back here, and he's always a good program with Dr. Glidden, huh?
Amen.
Yes.
All right. Amen.
I wanted to go a scripture. Who remembers what the title of the message was for this week? It was if the foundation be destroyed, what's the righteous to do, right?
Yes.
Now, we started off with this in this message over in Daniel chapter 12, verse 4. And in verse 4, we read this, "But thou, O Daniel, shut up the words and seal the book even to the time of the end. Many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall be increased." And, of course, we see over there in Amos chapter 8, it talks about those running to and fro. In fact, that word actually in Hebrew is racing
yes.
to and fro.
Mm-hmm.
And so here now, where he talks about seal up the book. Now, we've been going through this message, we've been seeing incrementally how that book is being unsealed. Little by little, it's being unsealed. And so tonight we're going to go to the end, the final prophet and the prophecy, and that's in Revelation chapter 22. In Revelation chapter 22, starting with verse 6 through 21. And so here, let's start here. And Randy, why don't you read verses 6 all the way through verse 10 and then stop there.
Okay. The Lord Returns is the title of the section. He said unto me, "These sayings are faithful and true. And the Lord God of the holy prophets sent his angel to show unto his servants the things which must shortly be done. Behold, I come quickly. Blessed is he that keepeth the sayings of the prophecy of this book. And I, John, saw these things and heard them. And when I had heard and had seen, I fell down to worship before the feet of the angel which showed me these things. Then saith he unto me, See thou do it not, for I am thy fellow servant, and of thy brethren the prophets, and of them which keep the sayings of this book. Worship God. And he said unto me, Seal not the sayings of the prophecy of this book, for the time is at hand. He that is unjust, let him be unjust. And he which is filthy, let him be filthy still. And he that is righteous, let him be righteous still. And he that be holy, let him be holy still. And behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me, to give every man according to his work shall be. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. Blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may be right to the tree of life, and may enter in through the gates into the city. For without are dogs, and sorcerers, and whoremongers, and murderers, and idolaters, and whosoever loveth and maketh a lie. I, Jesus, have sent mine angel to testify unto you these things in the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David, and the bright and morning star. And the Spirit and the Bride say, Come. Let him that heareth say, Come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. For I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book, if any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. And if any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life, and out of the holy city, and from the things which are written in this book. And he which testifieth these things saith, Surely I come quickly. Amen. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen.
All right, so when he talks about it, he says this in verse 7, Behold, I come quickly. Blessed is he that keepeth the sayings of the prophecy of this book. Now, that's how Revelation starts out. It
yes.
starts out by saying the blessings. And I, John, saw these things, and I heard them. And, well, it looks like Dr. Glidden may be coming back. Is he back? Okay. Peter J. Glidden, are you there?
Oh, I'm back. I'm fresh from Punxsutawney, Ernie.
All righty. There you go. Okay. So, how did you celebrate Groundhog Day?
Oh, you know, the 12-gauge?
Yeah. All right. Okay, I got you. Yeah. Well, you know what? I got you more than you know. It was because of a groundhog. I broke my shoulder up the first time a groundhog had dug a hole next there down by my pavilion next to the sidewalk, and the grass had grown over it. And I was moving pretty quick around there because there was some kind of a commotion going out front. And I didn't see that hole because the grass had grown up, and my foot went in that hole, and I went down sliding across the concrete.
That's not good. When was that?
Oh, that's it was about 4 years ago. That's the first time I broke my shoulder.
Ouch.
And then I got to tell a story. I hope my brother's not listening, but the groundhog and I, we didn't get along. No, we actually had one that would come up on my deck and stand up on its hind legs and look in the window, you know, the glass door. It was like he was taunting me. And so one day, I'm walking down by the river, and I see what appeared to be that groundhog on the bank. And I thought, it's got to get done. That groundhog's caused me enough problems. I had picked up a great big brick that was standing there, and I was sneaking up on that groundhog. And I got to tell you, when I got up close, just at the right time, that she moved. It was not a groundhog. It was actually my sister-in-law. She was sitting down, and boy, I just thought, how would I explain that to my brother? You know, gee, I thought your wife was a groundhog. No, that, you know, so, but praise the good Lord, he kept me from doing something really stupid. But anyhow, let me get back into the scripture. He said, and I, John, saw these things and heard them. And when I had heard and seen, I fell down to worship before the feet of the angel which showed me these things. Then said he unto me, see thou do it not, for I am thy fellow servant, and of thy brethren, the prophets, and of them which keep the sayings of the book, worship God. Now, the word angelos there means messenger. It doesn't always mean an angelic being. And, for example, the angels of the first of the seven churches in the beginning of Revelation, those were actually pastors, okay? And then the angel Gabriel, Daniel referred to him as the man Gabriel. So they've been interchangeable, referring to angels as men and men as to angels in the scripture. But the reason is it was messengers. He goes on to say, and he said unto me, seal not the sayings of the prophecy of this book, for the time is at hand. So we've been talking about, as we've gone through this message, we start out in Daniel chapter 12, verse 4, where he was instructed to seal up the sayings, seal up the book. And as we've been going through this message, we're seeing how incrementally the book has become unsealed. We're seeing that the things that were happening now, this is the final unsealing of the book, which he's referring to here. And so he says, he that is unjust, let him be unjust still. And he which is filthy, let him be filthy still. He that is righteous, let him be righteous still. He that is holy, let him be holy still. In other words, now the time has come. There's no changing. There's no turning back, okay? And behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me to give every man according as his work shall be. I am Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. Blessed are they that do his commandments, and they that have right to the tree of life, and may enter through the gates into the city. Now, that city is the New Jerusalem that he's talking about, and the tree of life is what we'll be eating. This tree has 12 different fruits on it. And see, Adam and Eve would have lived forever. And had they not sinned, had they listened to God and been obedient to him, and by eating from the fruit of the tree of life. And so we will have access to that tree. For without our dogs, now this verse upsets some people because you have animal lovers, and they thought that, well, all these dogs are going to hell. No, the word dogs here, referring to homosexuals, or LGBTQ today, they call them. In fact, five times in Scripture, homosexuals are referred to as dogs. Now, why is that? well, in the Middle East at that time, the most revered animal was the lion. The lion was the most highly revered. But Solomon said, you're better off to be a live dog. Now, hit there in that case, he was referring to a canine, yes. Okay? Mm-hmm. Well, then to be a dead lion. In other words, the idea is even if you're a dog, the most despised animal, now he's talking about animal here, a four-footed animal, then as long as you're alive, you've got a chance to repent and become saved. But here, in this case, without our dogs, he's talking about sodomites and sorcerers and whoremongers and murderers and idolaters and whosoever loveth and making a lie. Well, you know, you can almost just say, you know, Democrats today, because that's what that whole entire party stands for, all of these things, right?
Yes. That's right.
100%.
Yes. And so, and I, Jesus, have sent mine angel to testify unto you these things in the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David and the bright and the morning star. And the Spirit and the bride say, come, and let him that heareth say, come, and let him that is athirst come, and whosoever will let him take the water of life freely. For I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book, if any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. And if any man shall take away from the words of this book, of this prophecy, now listen to this. Okay, now here you have, in this case, the plagues that are written in this book will be added to this man if he adds to it. But listen to what happens if he takes away. And if any man shall take away from the words of the book of the prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life and out of the holy city and from the things which are written in this book. Now, it's very important that you understand what it's saying. For example, the NIV has removed 64,000 words, 64,000 words from the King James Bible. Now, the King James Bible is the standard. It's the most highly read Bible in the world. It is the most accurate. It is the only Bible that I was able to defend myself in court with, because it's an authorized book of law. It's an authorized book of law. In fact, I think I may be preaching very soon a message on the difference between the King James Bible and the New Age versions of the Bible. There's many, many versions. And one thing you find that they all have in common is all of those and the New Age versions, they don't go at war with each other. They all war against the King James Bible. And I remember, do you remember, Randy, John Ankleberg?
Oh, sure.
John Ankleberg had a program some years ago. And on that program, you had three people representing the NIV and the ASV, and two pastors representing the King James Bible. And do you know what happened on that program? On that program, right live, the Lord shut the mouths of the New Age people. Those that had the New Age, they couldn't talk. Their voice was taken away from them. And that's not what Ankerberg wanted to happen.
Right, he wanted a discussion there.
Right, yeah. And so he edited that program. He didn't want that to get out. And so he which testifies these things, saying, surely I come quickly, amen. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. In the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, be with you all, amen. And we're gonna stop right there. And so, boy, I'm going to tell you, Peter, we got some questions for you tonight. So we're going to, you ready?
I'm strapped in. I'm strapped in, Pastor. Let's go.
Okay. One of the things I want to talk about right off the bat. Okay. No, well, I want to go with this one here. Acute psychosis after COVID-19 vaccination. Now, yeah. We've had situations here, even in our church, where the spouses of people and relatives that have taken the plunge, the point, what we call a poisonous poke, they've kind of lost their minds. They literally have entire personality changes. And so here, let me just read this article and let you comment on it. It says here, unvaccinated patients have mentioned half-jokingly that COVID-19 vaccination in friends and family makes some of them a little crazy. Well, while I've always brushed this off as fear-driven vaccine ideology taking over common sense in some zealots, the building literature on neuropsychiatric symptoms is alarming. There are now 10 papers describing the headache, fever, and a range of acute neuropsychiatric systems from both the mRNA and the adenoviral COVID-19 vaccination. The strong bias among editors and publishers has kept countless papers out of the mainstream medical media. Hence, one has to look far and wide to find information on the topic of vaccine safety. Verona Vina from Croatia described 3 cases of acute headache followed by psychosis. Here's what she said. All of our patients complain of headaches within 5 days of vaccination with the COVID-19 vaccine, considering that 2 of the patients have had received the mRNA vaccine, also had parathyronia, and one of them also had syncope. In 2 cases, mRNA and vector vaccine, the neurological and psychotic symptoms started simultaneously, and in 1 case, mRNA vaccine and neurological symptoms preceded the psychiatric symptoms, and in all cases, neurological examination, MRI, CT of the brain revealed no abnormalities, but headache, dizziness, myalgiasis, and parenthesis are among the most common neurological systems expected to occur as efforts of the vaccination. In other words, people are getting very, very sick. Now, here's the interesting thing here. About 6 weeks ago, right here in Cleveland, Cleveland Clinic announced that people that had taken the vax were 4 times more likely to get the COVID.
That's right.
Yes.
And now, if you're 4 times more likely to get the COVID, how many times more likely are you to die of the COVID? 4 times, right?
Mm-hmm. That's okay. Right.
And yet, they're still pushing the vax. They're still pushing it out here. This is, it's like... what did he say? Stupid is as stupid does?
Yes.
Okay. And so what do you think about all of that, Peter?
Well, it's the tip of the iceberg. I mean, you know, it's an unproven experimental treatment. It's not a vaccine. It's a medical treatment it's an experiment. Normally, when a vaccine is brought to market, it's 5-10 years, at least 10 years, really, before it's released. There's all kinds of safety studies and long-term things that need to be figured out, but this was rushed to market, and it was brand-new technology. And whenever they used this technology, which was not a vaccination, on animals, all the animals died. And so, you know, we're seeing unprecedented amounts of deaths now. I think there's been over 1 million reported incidents to the website of the Centers for Disease Control. And there was a study that was done years ago that said that particular website for where people can go to lodge their own vaccine injury, right, that it's only 5%. It's only a reflection of about 5% of the reality. So if there's 1 million deaths reported on that website now, you have to multiply that by 100, for goodness sakes. It's the big bad voodoo daddy, and it's not getting any worse. It's not getting any better. It is getting worse. People are dying. Children are dying. Pilots are dying. Sports people are dying. And it's because of the vax. And it's becoming common knowledge now. However, it's not still not being reported by the mainstream media, because the mainstream media is no longer the fourth estate. The mainstream media is in the pocket of the pharmaceutical industry. They are in the pocket of the dark one. And they're not reporting this the way that they need to be reporting it. And so, you know, the people like us who've been saying this for years, I'm a member, by the way, I'm a board member of the only medical profession in the world, the only medical profession in the world that was pre-existing before COVID, to come out and say publicly, don't take the jab. But it's only one medical society in the entire world that did that. And I'm a board member of it, for goodness sakes. So there were rational doctors, rational scientists amongst us who looked at this decades ago, or years ago, excuse me, and said, look, this is just a bad idea. This is bad science. This is not even necessary because there are other therapeutics that are extremely effective for this. But we were all shut down, and we will continue to be shut down. And it's bad, Pastor.
Well, we weren't completely shut down. Let me tell you this. Before one single person had taken that poisonous poke, we were talking about while they were still in the development stage of that, where the animals were dying before anyone was taking a shot, we were on the air here telling people, hey, they're going to try to bring this thing out, and all of these animals are dying, so when they bring it out, don't take it, folks, because, and yet, here they brought it out without testing it on any human beings. So hang tight, we'll be back right after this.
Big John, Big John.
He was born of Elizabeth, the son of Zechariah, sent by God the Father to proclaim the Messiah. He was as bold as a lion, he knew no fear, an awesome man in a coat of camel hair.
Big John,
Big John, Big Baptist John.
Big John.
In the wilderness of Judea, you could hear him there. He was preaching repentance. It was very loud and clear. O generation of vipers, who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come, better listen, Pharisee. He preached to the sinner, the thief, and the liar. Only one way out of that burning lake of fire. The truth thundered forth from this righteous man, and those that believed found the promised land.
Big John, Big John,
Big Baptist John. Chosen by the Father to baptize the Son, it was there in the Jordan this awesome thing was done. The Holy Ghost descended as if it were a dove. A mighty voice thundered from heaven above. This is my Son in whom I am well pleased. John, his friend, none greater than he. He told all the people about God the Son. He never quit preaching till the job was done.
Big
Baptist John.
Big John.
Now 2,000 years later, the story is still being told. How he was thrown into prison for being so bold. He was martyred for God. To him it was an honor. He earned himself a mansion in heaven way out yonder. Big John. Now John's enemies, they perished in their shame. But John took his place in the Saints' Hall of Fame. Now in heaven above, the angels understood when John preached repentance, he sure did it good. Baptist John. Now there's one thing John wants you to know. It's a fearful matter to lose your own soul. So call upon the Lord while you still can. And better take the advice of this mighty righteous man.
Big John. Big John.
Big Baptist John.
Big John.
Big Baptist John.
Big John.
Big Baptist John.
Big John.
Big Baptist John.
Big John.
Big Baptist John.
All right, there you go, Big Baptist John. Randy, I bet you never wrote a song like that.
I bet you I wouldn't.
All right, I know. Listen, we have, you know who's calling in from church? Jim McNeil. Hang tight because he's got a prayer request, I think. Hey, Jim.
Hey, how are you, Pastor?
I'm all right. Say hi to Dr. Peter Glidden.
Sir, how are you?
Very good, Jim. It's a pleasure to meet you.
All right. Jim's kind of, Jim, I'm going to be doing, you might want to hang on a little bit because we're going to be talking to Peter about this U.S. corn farmers sound alarm. But before we do that, go ahead and get your prayer request.
We have a wonderful patriot by the name of Sam Horowitz. Sam is from Beechwood, and he's been out attending our Geauga County Tea Party meetings, and he and I have cooperated and collaborated on a climate science presentation that we're going to be doing. I believe it's Tuesday, March 7th, at the Tea Party meeting. But Sam, the last few days, had a heart attack, and I've lost contact with him through his secretary. I found out that he had a heart attack, and I believe at this point he may still be in the hospital. So I would really request prayers come out for this outstanding patriot. Sam is a wonderful guy, Sam Horowitz.
All righty. So, well, why don't you do that right now? Why don't you, and all the folks out there listening to us all around the country, join with us in this prayer for Sam. Go ahead.
Almighty God and Heavenly Father, God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, thank you for your blessings, Father. And we ask for a special blessing upon our brother, Sam Horowitz, as he's recovering from this heart attack. Help him, God, to recover according to your will. Never our will, but always thy will be done. We just hope and pray, God, that you give him complete, full, and speedy recovery. Our effort needs him. Your effort needs him. So we thank you, God, in the name of Jesus, and ask for prayers for Sam tonight. Thank you, God. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank
Amen.
You. I have, back here just recently when they had that conference at the World Economic Forum in Davos, Switzerland there, Joe Biden got up now, and he said something that was never meant for us to hear. It was never meant for us to hear, but somebody was there, and they got it, and they put it up on the news. In fact, Tucker Carlson had it on Fox News, and Joe Biden said, we've got to cut the food supply. We've got to cut the food supply. Now, think about that here, because a part of the whole depopulation program. Here, U.S. corn farmers sound alarm, most catastrophic problem ever faced headed for crops. Farmers across the country are sounding the alarm on a new law that could spell catastrophe for their businesses as well as the American economy. According to Fox Business, Mexico is set to enact a new law that would ban U.S. imports of genetically modified corn, and many are worried that this could be the most catastrophic thing to happen to corn farmers. Mexico is the largest buyer of American corn, purchasing more than $10 billion worth of corn a year from the United States. Most American farmers are now set up to grow non-GMO corn. Elizabeth Hinkle of the Hinkle Farms told Fox Business that it would take a massive effort for the farmers to switch to conventional corn, saying it would be a huge investment if we had to go back to growing conventional, and on the top of that, our yields would be decreased. Hinkle also said that regardless of where farmers sell their corn, the price of corn in one area is dependent on the whole country. So that means that prices across the country will plummet and farmers will have massive losses. Meanwhile, the USDA decreed Mexico's decision, saying it is not grounded in science and that it threatens to harm trade relations between the two nations as well as the productivity of both American and Mexican farms. Now, we all know that GMO food is a controversial issue. There are many who would prefer not to eat GMO food, regardless of where you stand on the issue. The fact of the matter is that most American farmers are not set up to grow non-GMO crops, and there is very little chance that they will change that to please the Mexican government. This means that we are now unable to sell most of our corn supply to our largest buyer, and this could send not only farmers but the American economy into a free fall. Now, farmers are heading to Capitol Hill to demand that lawmakers take action and protect their livelihoods. Now, I'm kind of split on this in the sense that I'd like to go back to the real thing, okay? But at the same time, here, this is a part of breaking down our economy. Joe Biden is out there to make America third world, to reduce us to third world status. This would never, ever happen if Donald Trump were in the White House.
Amen.
Right.
So what's your opinion, Dr. Glidden and Jim?
Well, I can tell you right now that this is, you know, everybody's welcome to their own opinion, but not their own set of facts. Even the World Health Organization, and I wrote about this at length in my first book, Everybody is Sick and I Know Why, when I listed the 12 bad foods. The World Health Organization about 8 years ago came out and said that genetically modified corn and genetically modified soy, or corn grown with glyphosate, or soy grown with glyphosate, which is Roundup, an herbicide, causes three different types of cancer, death by high blood pressure, death by stroke. So the data are in. These foods are bad for human consumption, and as far as I'm concerned, they should have been taken off of the market, you know, 40 years ago. But, you know, we don't live in a perfect world, and we can't just stop all corn production overnight because everybody's going to lose their job, and it's not going to be good for the farmers. It's not going to be good for the consumers. The same thing is happening with eggs now and with chickens. It's a big, bad voodoo daddy across the board. So I'm happy to see genetically modified corn go, but it needs to be done in a more...
incrementally, humane, huh?
Yeah, a more humane manner that takes into consideration the economics of the stuff.
What do you think about that, Jim?
Well, we can't do that in the same way that they're attempting to do away with fossil fuels.
Yeah.
Look at this mandate. I mean, here locally... in our Metropolitan Planning Organization, NOAACA, Northeast Ohio Area-Wide Coordinating Agency, they've overstepped their bounds once again, and they're in the midst of preparing a climate action program. And they, along those lines, they've done a greenhouse gas inventory among the five counties that are part of their MPO. And Geauga County, for example, has been identified as most of our carbon. Not carbon, it's carbon dioxide. Carbon is black and dirty and sooty. Carbon dioxide is a blessing from God.
Amen.
Without which plants, by the way, cannot grow. And there's a significant concentration below which plants will not be able to perform photosynthesis, and therefore all life is dependent on that, and it all goes away. If they reach their goal of a net zero carbon dioxide, you have to be careful not to use their words, a net zero carbon dioxide emission by 2050, this will be a frozen, lifeless ball floating through space. One faith that I have, though, is before that time, the Lord will be back.
Let me say this to you guys, because, you know, I've been teaching this Bible for 50 years, and one thing it doesn't address is something called coincidences. And since Biden has been making these statements and that where we have to cut food production, chicken houses with 100,000 chickens in it have been burning down. One of the largest potato manufacturers is burning down. All kinds of food processing plants are all of a sudden catching fire and burning down. What do you think of that coincidence?
Well, it's, you know, this from the Department of Redundancy Department. It's not a coincidence. This is all part of a bigger scheme. And I honestly don't know what the end game here. I mean, what is their end game? It seems to be depopulation of the planet, or just beating everybody down so hard that they're much easier to manage and they're much more subservient. You know, like the
control, FDA, control, control.
Trying to form a communist dictatorship. Yeah, it's the same thing here across the board. But. And I got to tell you, Pastor, and your audience, you know, I've been doing this for 34 years now, and I have to tell you that the coronavirus stuff is really bad. And from my point of view, it's the tip of the iceberg. because the leading cause of death in the United States is pharmaceutical medicine. And since we haven't had a free medical market since 1912, chronic disease is escalating. Heart disease is increasing. Obesity is increasing. Alzheimer's and autism and type 2 diabetes and chronic disease is increasing, and our life expectancy is getting shorter. And, oh, by the way, the biggest, number one cause of bankruptcy in the United States is medical bills. We don't have the best medical system in the world. We have one of the worst medical systems in the world. And the reason that it's like this is because it's a monopoly. The only people that are invited to the table are the medical doctors practicing allopathic medicine. Everybody else is looked at as the back of the bus quack with substandard dangerous training, and the reverse is true. We desperately need a free medical market. We haven't had a free medical market since 1912, and it's killing us, literally. And this coronavirus nonsense is just, from my point of view, more of the same, except a lot worse.
We've done recently, just in fact this week, some of the world's best known medical doctors, professionals, have been calling for indictments against all of these medical doctors that have been prescribing the poisonous poke, the shot. They're asking.
I think that's great, but what we need to take it one step further. I mean, let's keep the ball rolling, ladies and gentlemen. We need a federal Department of Holistic Medicine.
Yeah, we do.
Department of Holistic Medicine, in order to have doctors that are actually practicing alternative therapeutics be in charge of regulating that industry. Because right now, it's the pharmaceutical industry that's regulating that industry. And that's like having Anheuser-Busch regulate the entire Department of Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearms. It's nonsense. We wouldn't be okay with that, but we're perfectly okay with that when it comes to medicine because we have been hypnotized by 110 years of socialized propaganda to believe that the medical doctors, bless their heart, have the secret decoder ring to all things medical, and everybody else is a back-of-the-bus quack. So even when they fail us, even when they harm us, even when they kill us, even when they bankrupt us, we give them a pass. And this is what needs to change. You would not believe the things I've seen and my colleagues have seen our patients recover from. You would not believe it. This is, in fact, the best-kept secret in the modern medical marketplace is holistic medicine, naturopathic medicine specifically. Everybody in the world needs to know what we're up to because people are dying needlessly, and my people suffer needlessly.
Well, you know, one of the things that I've always been big on is common sense. I've always really appreciated common sense. Now, if somebody was to come to you and say, well, Peter, hey, Jim, how would you like to join me in practicing some witchcraft? You would probably say no, okay? But now, pharmakia, where you get the word pharmacy, that means wizardry, and wizardry is witchcraft, right?
Yes.
And so, by pharmakia are all nations deceived.
Right. And so what happens is we just change the words a little bit, and people don't know it. I mean, it's... You have the language of illusion, delusion, and confusion out there, and the vast majority of people are la-la landers. They don't understand. And so this is why, you know, go ahead.
We have a great example of what the doctor is speaking of here with Elaine Connolly. Elaine Connolly is an integrative medicine nurse, and here in Geauga County, we have 20% of our population, some 24,000 people, are Amish in our community.
Yeah.
And we actually had a wonderful presentation where Elaine came out and spoke to the Amish. We had over 600, close to 700 Amish people in attendance at this meeting. She spoke there, and one person that was in attendance at that meeting happened to be the medical doctor who was associated with the Geauga County Board of Health. And she turned her in to her licensure agency and was attempting to get her license stripped from her.
Yeah.
And Elaine
spoke. It's unbelievable.
The truth. The truth.
Yeah, I've lectured to the Amish.
Yeah.
It's a really interesting community.
Masking and vaccine. By the way, here's another very interesting thing. I spoke to one of my Amish neighbors here, and I said, you know, he was fairly place in the church. They have 100, we have 150 congregations here where I live. And I said, it strikes me that your community did not mask, you didn't social distance, you didn't vaccinate, you didn't shut down your funerals, your weddings, your church services. You did nothing in compliance to the government, okay? And yes, you got sick. And in fact, most of you got sick. But my observations are that very few of you died. So I took that another step further. And I conferred with an epidemiologist from a medical college and from a master's degree statistician from Stanford. We went and met with the Amish, and we developed a questionnaire. Now, the Amish have a publication in the church here called the Gemeindebrief. Every birth, every death is recorded in this document, and it comes out to them on a monthly basis. So we were able to go back through the Gemeindebrief and find out precisely how many people died in the Amish community. Then with the assistance of the Amish and the epidemiologist, we were able to put together a questionnaire. The Amish hand-addressed the envelopes, hand-stamped them, hand-sent them out to all the homes that had experienced a death. Now, as you know, in any type of statistical study, if you get a 50% response rate, that's a fairly powerful statistical number. We get 97%. Out of the Amish community.
That was, yeah, you know, that was an interesting thing, too, because our Amish community, when we were having the Trump trains there in Middlefield, you would have never have thought, when we came through there, the Amish buggies were lined up, and they were holding Trump signs up all the way down. And they don't normally get involved in anything political, but in this case, they understood.
Here's the surprise. The surprise what the results were. Is that the statistician was able to cross-reference with the Ohio Department of Health death records, and we could find out, you know, precisely who the people were and match the cause of death on the death certificate against what the department had to say, and it all matched up perfectly. I don't believe there was one exception, and our findings were that the Amish community died at a rate of 1/4 that of the Yankee community, the non-Amish community. Now, couple this with a recent, like within the last month, study that was released by above all people, the Cleveland Clinic, that vaccinated versus unvaccinated people were 400% more likely to get COVID. Number one. Number two, the vaccinated versus unvaccinated were 400% more likely to end up in the hospital. And number three, once in the hospital, the vaccinated versus the unvaccinated died at a rate of 400% greater than the unvaccinated, and that matches our study precisely.
Yes, well, from your lips to God's ears, but the point here is you're absolutely 100% correct, but nothing is happening. Nothing is happening here. I mean, you know, people are starting to get mad. More people are starting to become aware of this as a problem, but I'm not seeing any big movement. I'm not seeing a million-man march on Washington, D.C. I'm not seeing any of this. And I'm telling you, man, it's because of the medical monopoly. As bad as you think it is, and as you're starting to see now with all of this coronavirus house of cards starting to crash to the ground and all of the lies and all of the deception backed up now by statistical analysis, as bad as you think it is, I'm telling you, based on 34 years of clinical work as a licensed naturopathic physician, it is 1,000 times worse.
But, I mean, let's take it one step further, and I think that it kind of puts music to this story, and that's this. How many physicians and the medical people that are involved in all this are going to really go back and say, we gave you bad advice, we were wrong, and people are dead, et cetera, and so forth. And let's face it, most doctors are employees of the hospital. They don't practice medicine anymore in the AMA. They don't. I mean, Dr. Glidden, you're one of the, you know, your group of people, the naturalists and the naturopathic medicine people, you guys practice medicine. The rest of them don't. They all worked for the hospitals because what the hospital did is bought out their practice and then made them employees. They couldn't switch a cotton ball if they wanted to. And how many of them are going to come back and say that we gave you bad advice, we told you to take the vaccine? They're not going to do that. That's the problem. Somebody has to say, oops, we messed up, and they're not going to do that.
I agree. But I have to say that at the grassroots level, when I'm going into practitioners now, there is much more acceptance of my resistance to wear a mask, and we have some fairly frank conversations about vaccination, where I get a chance to share with them some of the data that some of them do not know. They don't realize this was our third dance with coronavirus. The first one was SARS 20 years ago, the second one was MERS 12 years ago, and this one was Corona SARS 2. And in both of the previous cases, the fellow who invented the mRNA vaccine concept.
Malone, Robert Malone.
Malone, yes.
We had him on the program here.
Yeah.
Yeah. At any rate, in both of those two previous encounters, an mRNA vaccine, quote-unquote, was developed. The test animals were inoculated. And when the antibody production was robust enough, they were exposed to the wild virus. And in both of the previous coronavirus studies, 100% of the test animals perished. They died. They were killed by the wild virus. Well, this time around, we didn't even have any animal studies. I don't know, maybe five mice.
And Jim, respectfully, you're missing the point. And respectfully, I completely agree with you. But the situation here is that you shouldn't have to educate the doctor. It's the doctor's responsibility to educate themselves. It's the doctor's responsibility to take care of the patient. It's the doctor's responsibility to first do no harm. It's the doctor's responsibility to do their due diligence. And now you, as a layperson, have to go in and educate the doctors and bring them up to speed. It's ridiculous.
Well, and actually, I'm a little bit more than a layperson. Dr. Tenpenny referred to me as smarter than the average bear when we talked one time. But, I was saying, why in the world, when people present at a hospital with COVID-like symptoms, are we not doing a ferritin test? Because we know that the coronavirus likes to knock iron off the hemoglobin and excess
well,
iron.
Again, but it's a point well taken, but you might be the smartest person on the Eastern Seaboard. The medical professionals should already know this. You should not have to bring them up to speed, but you have to bring them up to speed.
I thought I was the smartest person on the Eastern Seaboard.
I was just going to say that.
Alrighty.
But no, where I come from, I happen to be a chemist, and I've spent a lot of time in the medical gas industry, a significant period of time. And in fact, I participated in some new drug applications and new device clearances with FDA. I've been at FDA in Rockville presenting on new drug approvals. And I know how that game is played, and it was nowhere near that in this case here. The safety margins.
Let me say this because we're coming to a break. You've experienced personally the psychological effects on those poisonous pokes, and that's where we started the program off tonight. But we're coming up to a hard break, so stand down for a minute, and we will be back right after this. With a whole lot more, so don't go away. More to come.
Fight the fight. Take the stand. Light the light. We are there. Let's come against the night.
Thank you for listening to What's Right, What's Left, the voice of the Christian resistance. To support this ministry, head to wrwl.org. That's wrwl.org. Mail your donations to What's Right, What's Left Ministries, 14781 Sperry Road, Newberry, Ohio, 44065. If you missed part of tonight's program, you can check out the podcast at thewordcleveland.com. thewordcleveland.com. Once again, thank you for listening and supporting What's Right,
What's Left Ministries, the voice of the Christian resistance. Stay tuned. The second hour is coming up next.